Previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
This is embarrassing. You should not be listening to this show. What the hell is that about? The hell are you doing?
And now, today's episode.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Oh boy.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Oh my goodness. Hey, good morning, good afternoon, all that stuff. Welcome to the show. I'm Ron Van Dam. I'll take it from here. You don't do anything. You just sit there. Just sit there, and I will take care of it all. Can I get you something? Would you like a drink, perhaps? A little sandwich? Can I put your feet up? I just want you to be comfortable. I want myself to be comfortable more than you, though, because that's the most important thing. It's my comfort, not yours. You ever get a foot massage? It's really wonderful, but at the same time, I don't want people touching my feet. It's kind of an odd reaction that I have. I know women get their toenails painted and stuff. I don't understand that. Who's going to see it unless you're wearing sandals? Don't get that, really. I'm very squeamish about my feet. I don't want people sucking on my toes or playing around with my toenails. Yuck. Yucky. Those are the things that I walk on all day and they get hot and sweaty inside my socks. And yet people have foot fetishes. They actually love the feet. I don't know how that's possible. Who would fall in love with somebody's feet? It just, how are feet any kind of perfect formations on the human body? They're actually kind of ugly when you think about it. Corns, calluses, blisters, all that white little pussy dry junk that forms between the toes and that little crevice. Why? And they smell usually. The entire weight of your body is thrusted upon these two little pods all the way down there. And I don't. And then some people walk around. I love feet. I love feet. I love to suck on toes. Oh my God. I guess we all have our little things, right? We have our little things. I became very curious yesterday. I was having dinner last night, which is when I tend to have dinner. And I just, all of a sudden in my brain, this is why I do this, because my brain's all weird. I had these great curiosities of, like, why are things a certain way? My first thought was the name Richard. I don't know. I don't even know anybody named Richard. I guess I do, but I'm not aware of it. Richard is a wonderful name. I mean, it's very simple. It's very Richardo. But then I thought, well, wait a minute. Many people who are named Richard are called Dick. And that just started a whole process in my head on two counts. The first count is, how do you get Dick out of Richard? Which sounds wrong. But how is that possible? There's Richard and then Dick. I mean, how are they derived and connected where they're interchangeable. I can understand Rich. Boy, is that simple to understand. Richard, I'll shorten that up. I'll call you Rich. But Richard, I'll shorten it up and call you Dick. That was my first curiosity. My second curiosity was, how did the penis... I'm sorry, get the kids out of the room. I'm sorry, I didn't know I was going to talk about this. Get them out of the room now. I'll wait. Take your time. Take your time. Get them out of the room now. I don't think that's getting out of the room music. unless there's a ghost. Get out of the room now. All right, kids are gone? Okay. How did the penis get the nickname Dick? And why would somebody named Richard want to have a nickname that was named after their penis, or at least has a very close association? All this started to bother me in the middle of my dinner last night to the point where I couldn't swallow. And of course, I also thought to myself, people that love feet, how does that happen? How does that happen? Do you wake up one morning and say, I think I love feet? How does that develop? I don't understand that. So anyway, so I went on the Google machine. I have a few Google machines. They work in various capacities, some of them very slow, some of them very fast, some of them very frustrating. Actually, they're all very frustrating. I Google machine the name Richard, and I asked, how does Dick come out of Richard? And it said, very slowly. That's not even funny. Can you believe you're even listening to a show that's talking about this? But your curiosity is piqued, isn't it? How did the name Dick come out of Richard? So I looked at it, and here's the short version. Back in the 18th century, holy crap, there was an 18th century? Yeah. They love to shorten and rhyme names. I don't know why. So somehow Richard turned into Rick. There's no explanation for that, but I'm seeing a little bit of a connection because they both began with R, and then the next letter was an I. After that, people in the 18th century just kind of lost it. You know, just they think that things rhyme that actually don't. So somehow it got from Rich to Rick. Now, people that are named Richard can be called Rick as well, or Ricky. I know. It's a very odd name. Those that were called Rick, they started rhyming with Rick, and they got to Dick somehow. So Richard became Dick. It's like playing telephone. Like you start with something, you end up with something else that has absolutely no connection to what you began with. Remember that game you played when you were a kid, telephone? No, you don't even know what a telephone is, do you? It was a device where you could actually pick it up and speak into it, and somebody miles and miles away could speak to you. It was called a telephone. I know, I'm talking gibberish to you. I know you have a cell phone, and I know it's called phone, but you never use it accordingly. You just text things or that kind, or you tweet and stuff. I know you don't talk to people anymore on the device. So, all right, so I understand Dick, but when did... I understand Dick, which means nothing. But then how did we start calling the penis Dick? Because that doesn't connect either. Penis and dick do not rhyme, so that didn't work. How do we get there? And there's really no viable explanation. Here's the best thing they could come up with on the Google machine. The name Richard means hard ruler. That's what that means. Hard leader, hard ruler is what Richard turns out to be when you break it down into its syllables. So somehow, I believe it was the 1890s is what the Google machine said. Some little whippersnapper said, "Ooh, hard ruler, a hard ruler. That's my penis." So Richard, people calling Richard Dick meant hard ruler. Dick, hard ruler. That's a penis. I mean, it makes no sense when you explain it, but that's how they're connected. Now, here's the bottom line to this. If my name was Richard and somebody called me Dick, I would run and hide and change my name from Richard to Paul or something like that. I would. How would I let anybody call me Dick? That is the connotation of the penis. All right, I'm done talking about that. I can't believe I spent 11 minutes on this. I can't believe you listened to this. Bring the kids back into the room and let's get it started here, man. Wow. That was ridiculous. Okay. What did you think of that, huh? That was pretty crazy. I know. Talk amongst yourselves. I know. I realize it. I know. All right. Okay, all right. Sometimes I let you break into little study groups to figure out what I was talking about and why I even brought it up. So I'm eating dinner last night, and I'm thinking about this Richard Dick thing, and it's starting to really bother me. To the point where I cannot swallow the mashed potatoes anymore. And mashed potatoes are a fairly smooth, easy type of food to digest. You don't have to chew them or anything like that. And then something else popped into my head. Ice cream. I don't know why, but it did. And I was thinking of flavors of ice cream. And then I said to myself, well, maybe this flavor does exist as an ice cream, but I never see it anywhere. Why don't they have root beer flavored ice cream? Kind of makes sense. Root beer is a fairly wonderful flavor. Most people like it. Did you ever have a root beer and you took a scoop of vanilla ice cream, put it in the root beer? It's called a root beer float because the ice cream floats in the root beer. It's a flotation device. And then I thought, what a wonderful ice cream flavor this would be, a root beer float kind of thing, where vanilla and root beer would be intertwined in a interesting fashion, and it would say on the carton, root beer ice cream, as a flavor. I haven't seen it. Now, I didn't Google machine the root beer ice cream because I wasn't that curious. The Richard Dick thing really bothered me. Root beer flavored ice cream. Now, if someone wants to get into this with me, I don't know how you can invest in this because it's just a flavor, but it would be wonderful. I'll tell you a story. It involves Tori Lagarde, who does the show with me once a week on Mondays. And we banter back and forth. It's an opportunity for me to become somewhat normal without becoming normal. We talk back and forth, and I was saying to her on one of the programs, in one of my ridiculous manners, as I am at this point, I said, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful if they had chocolate-flavored gum, if that was available on the market? On the black market, you know, like a guy comes up to you, opens up his trench coat and says, hey, I got chocolate gum. You want some? It's $50 a stick. Wouldn't it be great to have chocolate chewing gum? I've never seen this on the shelf. Everybody loves chocolate. Are you kidding me? It's a thing. But chocolate-flavored chewing gum, my God, it would stop people from smoking, nicotine, chocolate-flavored chewing. I mean, It would just be wonderful. You know, the kids in the back seat. When are we going to get there? When are we going to get there? Shut up and put a stick of chocolate gum in your mouth and just shut up for the rest of the trip. Otherwise, you're walking. That's not the way you talk to your kids? Well, it's effective. So she hears me. We go back and forth. She says, well, it's got to be somewhere. I'll Google it. And you know, I'm sick of every conversation that ends with, well, I'll Google it. I mean, people never did this in the past. Back in the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s, people, there was no Google. There were no computers, no home computers. People didn't say, that's a good question. I'll go down to the library tomorrow and look it up. I mean, that was the only option. That or was there was that outdated Encyclopedia Britannica. By the time you got all the volumes, the thing would be 10 years old, outdated. So you have to go to the library with the Dewey Decimal System, which was basically created by Dewey to screw you up. Alphabetical order? No, that's too easy. Let's make a library system that has like numbers and decimals that has nothing to do with the books themselves. We'll put the numbers on the decimals on the books, and then people will go hunting around like it's some type of bizarre scavenger hunt for numerals. What kind of code was that? Dewey Decimal? Dewey, what the hell were you doing? Were you high? But people never said back when I was growing up, that's a good question. I'll run down to the library. I'll be right back. No, no one went to the library. Please. Please. I never saw a kid sit in a library in my life. The only people who go to libraries are people that have nothing to do but go to libraries. I mean, other than you can be sure if you go to a library, you're not going to see kids acting up because, be quiet. Actually, if you ever want to get away from life itself, go to a library. They don't let you talk in there. Everybody just knows that you're supposed to be quiet. Shut up, figure out where the books are, or get out. What a wonderful... I just go to the library to go to sleep. I go. They have these big tables, and I just like... I get a book, and I make believe I'm reading it, although, like Trump, I don't really care about that. And I just put my head down on the big table, and I fall asleep like for 2 hours. The only time they'll throw me out is if I snore too loud, because that's, again, a silence. Shh. If you're going to sleep here, then be quiet. So she, I guess she Googled chocolate gum, and I was at a party, and she gave me a gift, and she said, here, Ron, I want to give you this, and I opened up the box, and it was chocolate gum, chocolate-flavored gum. I couldn't believe it. I had a little tiny orgasm in my pants because I couldn't believe there was actually chocolate gum, and I was holding it. When I got home, I popped the chocolate gum into my mouth. You know what? Awful. It was awful. The flavor was great, but it only lasted like for 10 seconds. And I'm just like chewing plastic. I said, okay, the concept is great, but the gum sucks. I love the flavor idea, but the gum sucks. So to this day, I'm just wondering why there's no like chocolate gum across the board everywhere. But there isn't. And there's no root beer flavored ice cream. Perhaps at one point there was. You might be yelling at your speaker right now saying, Ron, there is root beer flavor ice cream. At least there was, but there isn't any more. But at least it did occur. Well, I finished my dinner, and that was the end of that. I know. It's a very strange situation.
Ron Van Dam is different than most podcast hosts. He really understands his audience.
They like to be smacked and whipped.
Well, I think we're going to get along just fine. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show.
Yes, you are. And whose fault is that? here's a little tip for you. If life ever gets really, really boring, I mean, I'm seriously boring, where you get up in the morning and it's like, oh, just another day of the same thing. I get up, I brush my teeth, I
go back to bed for 3 hours. I get up, I go to work, I go home, I eat dinner, I think about why there's no chocolate gum and no root beer flavored ice cream, and why people named Richard are end up being Dick. I what a horrible life. Then I go to sleep and I do it over and over. If you feel like that, and I know you do, here's a little tip on how you can change your entire life, not for a long time, but at least temporarily. And this is going to sound weird, but it's absolutely true. And I don't have an expert to back me up. I mean, I'm no expert in this. I'm not a fashion expert. Look at me. Here's what you do. Move the furniture around. It's as simple as that. Move the furniture around. The chair that you usually sit in, move it somewhere else in the room. And then sit in the chair, and your entire perspective of life will change incredibly quickly. I know. That's all it takes. Changing your perspective just a little bit. So now when you're sitting in your chair, you're staring at a different part of the room that the chair is in, and it changes your life. All of a sudden, you get this spark of newness. Now, I know what you're saying right now. You're saying, Ron, that sounds so stupid. You're telling me to change my life, just move my chair a little bit? Yes, that's all I'm saying. But give it a try. After the show today, when you're finished listening to this crap, I want you at some point during the day to take the chair that you usually sit in or the couch, whatever, and move it around. Shuffle it to some other place in the room or sit in a different chair all the time. You will find your perspective changes and your perspective on life will change. Your relationships will change. You'll start doing things you never did before. You'll find the beauty in people's feet. This will change everything. I know it sounds absurd. Now, the same results come from if you have a couple of drinks. That also changes the perspective. Or if you smoke the Mary Jane Wana, you'll find that also does the same thing because it's all in your mind. It's all perspective. It's all perception. That's all it ever is. It's not the way things actually are. It's the way you perceive them. That's the entire key to life. People spend all their time changing things, changing their lives, divorcing, getting remarried, changing jobs, ending relationships, go out and buy a new car. I mean, that's stupid because it has nothing to do with reality. It's all perception. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's the way you perceive things. You don't have to change the thing itself. All you have to do is change the way that you view it, the way that you perceive it. It seems simple, and damn it, it is simple. It costs you no money to move your chair. It costs you no money to change your attitude. It does cost you money to live, pay the rent, the mortgage, the cable bill. That costs you money. Don't change that. Change the perception of it. I know I sound rather preachy, but I'm just trying to help you walk away with something other than what you walked in with when you started listening to this show. I feel it's my civic duty and responsibility to save a cat out of a tree. You know, the cat stuck in the tree. To be honest with you, I've been around for a long time. I never saw a cat stuck in a tree before. Although in every movie it exists, I've never seen it. I'm just saying, my job is to change your perspective, to help you walk away from this show with something that you didn't walk in with. Now, let's talk about foot fetish. No, let's not. I had my feet massaged. Ron, I thought you weren't going to talk about this. Look, now I'm yelling at myself. I did go to a place. It was in a mall. This is so embarrassing for me to even tell you this, but you'll forget it right after I tell you anyway. I was walking through a mall. I had nothing to do. I walked past this place. There were a lot of Oriental people inside the place. They didn't look like they were really busy. And apparently they gave foot massages. An odd thing. To me, the feet are very personal. I had told you that at the beginning of the show. They're very personal. So this lady, and it doesn't matter if she's attractive or not because you close your eyes. She starts massaging my foot. It feels wonderful. But when she gets to the toes, it's like, oh, no, no, oh, no, no, no. Do not touch my toes. You can massage the bottom of my foot or the top of my foot all you want. Go to town. But stop touching my toes. That, to me, is not erotic in the least. I'll tell you another thing. I am a man. That's not the end of the sentence. There's more to this. I will not have another man touch my toes. I don't know why that is, but the mere thought of having another man touch my toes makes me want to puke, to be honest with you. A woman, go to town. Go to town. Bring your friends. I don't know why the foot is such an erotic place to be. You would think it would be the breasts, you know. That's like the big thing these days. The boobs. Apparently very erotic. But the bottom of the feet, man, I don't know what's going on there. I don't know what kind of impulses are running through my body. Do I have a foot fetish? No. No. Do I ever care if anybody touches my feet again? I don't care. I got to tell you something. I don't touch my feet either. So I never wake up saying, I'm feeling a little frisky today. I think I'll play with my feet. First of all, I can't reach them. They're like all the way down there. I'm 6'3". And for me to go to my feet, I would need to pack a picnic lunch because it's far away. I actually go to Google Maps to find out how long it would take for me to get to the bottom of my feet, and it's usually a long time. So, not for me. All right, we're just about running out of time today. I'm on some type of mission, apparently. You know, we do interviews on every single show. I haven't done an interview on this show in the past couple of days. I've just been talking and monologuing. Nothing's written down by just as a little insight into this show. Nothing's written down. I don't sit down before the show and do a list of things I want to talk about. If I'm talking politics or some type of news item, I will write that down and do a little bit of research. I mean, I don't want to kill myself here with that. I'll run down to the library. But this stuff, this foot fetish stuff and Richard and Dick and I don't know what I'm going to be talking about. Although I do admit that I did look up the Richard Dick thing. I don't think I want to be very careful what you admit to people because it's going to come back at you someday. That happens sometimes when I do a show. If I run into somebody that listened to a recent episode, they'll say, oh, Ron, I love that show. Like 3 months ago, you were talking about Richard and Dick. Oh, my God. That was supposed to be a fleeting moment. That's not something you bring up 3 months later. Now I feel awkward. I'm awkward about that. All right, kids. This has been wonderful. Perception is everything. If perception is everything, change your perception on things. And that means have a wonderful day. Just like tell yourself, everything that happens today is going to be wonderful in my head. Until then. Until tomorrow, I wish you peace. usually when someone does a show or has a product, they say, tell your friends about it. In this case, don't say anything. It's just between you and me.